Tony Broom Ministries presents the following Bible teaching session entitled Wars of Extermination.
The Lord tells us as Christians how to live. We're to live victoriously over all evil. He gives us power to live over evil. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12 says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our fight is not a physical fight. Our fight as Christians is a spiritual fight. The wars in the Old Testament, some people don't like to read the Old Testament because there's so much war and killing and all these animal sacrifices. They have problems with the Old Testament. There were actually wars of extermination. God says, go in there and wipe them out. And that may seem hard to us, especially those of us who are living under the new covenant of mercy, grace, and love. But these wars were mandated. God gave instructions to Israel. He told them, when you go into the land, that God brings you into the land to possess it, and these nations are there, all these Canaanite nations, these Ite nations, Hittites, Girgashites, and Amorites, Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. I think that's all of them. Oh, maybe the Electrolytes. We need to put them in there too. Can't forget them. Seven nations greater, mightier than yourself. He said, when the Lord God shall deliver them to you, you will smite them, utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. God says, I don't want you to get mixed up with them. That's the idea. You will not make marriages with them. Your daughter you will not give to them, nor his daughter will you take to your son. So God says, do not get mixed up with them. They will turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you and destroy you suddenly. God says they will turn away your heart from following me to serve these strange gods. Thus shall you deal with them. This is what you do. You will destroy these nations, destroy their altar, break down the images, cut down their groves, and burn the graven images with fire. And this is why God told them to do that, because he said, you are a holy people unto the Lord your God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And God says, this is what you will do. You will smite them. You'll consume these people that the Lord has delivered to you. Your eye will not pity them. Neither shalt thou serve their gods, for this will be a snare to you. God said, I do not want you to pay attention to their religion. I don't want you to serve these false and strange gods. God says, of the cities that I will bring under your domination, that you will fight them, you will overcome them. But of these specific cities of the Canaanite people, the Lord has delivered them to you. I want you to drive them out. God gives you that for an inheritance. Thou shalt save alive nothing that breathes. And he tells them, utterly destroy them. And he gives the names again, Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, the Jebusites, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. They will teach you. If you do not destroy them, that they will teach you to do all these abominations that they have done to their gods. That will be a snare unto you, and you will sin against the Lord your God. God warned them not to go after these strange gods. He said there was a nation, when you came up out of the land of Egypt, Amalek. He met you as you came up out of the way, smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind you, when thou wast faint, and he feared not God. And God told King Saul later on, he said, I want you to go in there. I want you to utterly destroy Amalek. I want you to wipe them out, because they laid wait for Israel when he came up out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not, slay both man and woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass. And he said, I want you to go in there and I want you to make sure that they are cut off. Their remembrance will be cut off from under heaven. God told Moses, he said, I want you to go and write it in a book and do not forget it. I will consume them. I will destroy the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And these wars were not only mandated, but they were actually carried out. This Midianite problem that Israel had, they became enamored by their idols and by their women. And God told Moses, he said, you will not be able to go into the promised land. You will not carry this people over. But there's one more mission I want you to do. It's so important that the Midianites be destroyed, that you will avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites, and then after that, I will take you home. You'll be gathered to your fathers. The Lord spake to Moses, saying, avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterwards shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. God knew that Joshua was not in a position yet to be able to handle this. And so one more mission that Moses had to do, and you can read that in the book of Numbers. Joshua in chapter 6, now he's taken over and he's in charge. And God says, Joshua chapter 6, the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof, the mighty men of valor. So God promised to deliver Jericho to the hand of Israel. March around the walls. You know the story of Joshua in the battle of Jericho, the song says, and march around the walls 7 times and let the priests blow the trumpets. And so the people, when they heard the sound of the trumpet, the priests blew with the trumpets, they shouted. Came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. And they took the city. They utterly destroyed all that was in it, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, and ass, all with the edge of the sword. So Israel begins to possess the land, and they have domination over these Canaanites. But their mistake was they didn't drive them out totally. God said you were to drive them out. And that sounds harsh. Like I say, we're under the new covenant, and it is different. It's a different economy altogether. But God told Israel, these nations, they have sinned against me. They do things you can't even talk about in public. And I want you to go in there and utterly wipe them out. That's what God told them to do. And so Israel, they kind of sort of did it. They didn't do all of what God said. It came to pass, Judges chapter 1, verse 28, Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. So they didn't do. Halfway is not good. Halfway is still disobedience. An angel of the Lord, he comes up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I have made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. You will make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done so? And so now they're going to cry about it. There's no need to cry. Just go ahead and obey God and do what he wants you to do, and you won't have anything to cry about. I said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides. Their God shall be a snare to you. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. They called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. So these wars were carried out. You can read the book of Joshua. If you're an adventurous person who likes westerns and things like that, you can read the book of Joshua, and it'll tell you all these kings and all these people that they were destroyed. And Joshua, he was a faithful servant, but Israel didn't do all of what God told them to do. Now, what about us as Christians? We have a whole different ball game, if you want to call it that. The Christian's perspective, Jesus tells us that we would hear of wars and rumors of wars. He says, "See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." These things, God said they would happen. We have a choice to make. We can choose to serve God, and no matter what happens, let come what may, we'll be on the right side. And when you're on the right side, you can't go wrong. What shall we do? He says, carry out the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. We have his words that tells us he's with us. He tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That's what we're to do as Christians. We're to try our best to live peaceably with all men, because we have a relationship with God that's so much better than that was under the old covenant. Under the old covenant, they had to do to live. They had to fight with everything they did to try to get somewhere. But you and I, our battle has already been won for us. The war is already won. We may lose a battle now and then, but we've already won the war. And thank God. Amen. He tells us, Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. If you're going to stand in the time that we live in, you better put on the whole armor of God. It takes the whole armor of God to be able to stand. And God has given us a whole armor to put on. We have a breastplate of righteousness. We have a girdle of truth. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the sword of the Spirit, gospel boots, and the Word of God. We have prayer. God has given us an all-sufficient armor to put on. And we can pray. You and I, as believers, we can pray. Paul said, I exhort that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for rulers, for all that are in authority over us, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Instead of complaining, instead of causing riots and trouble, we are to pray for those in authority over us. Wars are part of the world that we live in. Nation rising against nation, wars, rumors of wars, confusion, fighting. This is not the life of the Christian. These wars in the Old Testament were called wars of extermination. They were designed to wipe people out. God came to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. He said, I came not to destroy, but I came to save. The thief, he's the one who comes to destroy. He's the one who comes to do us bad. He's the one who makes bad things happen. That thief, he comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. He's the one who comes to give us life. He came to the world not to destroy the world. He could have come down here as King and God Almighty. He could have come down here and said, I'm just wiping it all out. But he came to save us. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. The life of Jesus is so much more simple than fighting and fussing and cussing and confusion and wars and skirmishes and upheavals and nation against nation and one political party against another. And in the church, you got the east against the west, you got the north against the south. That's not our Lord. Our Lord comes to make us one. He comes to do us good. He comes to put things together again. He comes to bless us. He comes to save us. He comes to sanctify us and fill us with the Spirit. He comes to heal us and do us good. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not a physical fight. Our fight is a faith fight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against spiritual things. That's what it's all about. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the high places, it's not just talking about Washington or Moscow or London. It's talking about the high places up there in the space, up there where the devil's domain is. That's the place. I mean, Jesus has already overcome him. But our fight is not a physical fight. It's a spiritual fight. And we have already been victorious. Jesus is our captain. He's the captain of our salvation. God has already given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Moses called him Jehovah Nissi, our captain. He is our captain. He is our victor. He is the one that we serve. Father, thank you for this opportunity to look at your word today. And I praise you, Lord, that you have called us not to war, but to peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. You tell us to pray for those in authority over us, to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, and to pray for those who mistreat us and despitefully use us. And I pray, Lord, that you give us that attitude, that character, the power to be an overcomer today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching session entitled Wars of Extermination. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord. He will fight your battle because he's already won the war. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.